Welcome to the Rapid Learning audio tutorial on discrete probability distributions from the Rapid Learning Center. Learning objectives. By completing this tutorial, you will learn the Bernoulli distribution, the binomial distribution, the approximation of the binomial distribution, the geometric distribution, the geometric experiment, the geometric random variable, the comparison and relationship with other distributions, and the memoryless property. Let's begin by talking about the Bernoulli distribution. Definition of a Bernoulli trial. A Bernoulli trial is the experiment whose outcome is random and can be either of two possible outcomes. Here are some examples. Is a baby a boy? Are a person's eyes black? Did a citizen vote for a specific candidate? Each of these questions has two possible outcomes: yes, which would indicate success, or no, which would indicate failure. Let's look at some more examples of Bernoulli trials. An example would be flipping a coin. The successful outcome would be heads with a probability of 0.5. The failure outcome would be tails with a probability of 0.5. Rolling a 4 on a die. The success outcome would be a 4. The failure outcome would be any other roll. The random polling of a voter. Success outcome would be a yes vote, while a failure outcome would be a no vote. Bernoulli trial assumptions. The trials are independent. The outcome of one trial has no effect on other trials. For the success state, P equals a constant for each trial. The success state is always denoted as x equals 1. Here's an example. The gender of a survey participant. The success outcome would be female, so we would denote that x equals 1. The failure outcome would be male. Another example might be product testing. If it's defective, we would go with x equals 1, and the failure would be no defect. Here's the formula for the mean and variance of the Bernoulli distribution. Another name for the mean is the expected value. The expected value on the Bernoulli distribution equals P, the probability of success. The variance for the Bernoulli distribution equals P times Q. Now let's discuss the binomial distribution. Let's discuss the relationships of these two distributions. Between the Bernoulli and the binomial, each trial result is only success and failure. And in each case, the probability of success for each trial is P, a constant. The difference is the binomial distribution has n independent trials. Here's another example of the relationship between Bernoulli and binomial. The binomial distribution is actually the summation of n independent Bernoullis. It's the number of successes in n trials. If y sub 1, y sub 2, all the way to y sub n are Bernoulli, then x is binomial. X equals y sub 1 plus y sub 2 plus all the way out to y sub n. Recognizing a binomial distribution. According to statistics, about 40% of men in the United States voted for Bush. A random sample of 15 men is selected, and the number who voted for Bush is recorded. We want to know if this is an example of a binomial experiment. Well, first we need to know if there are n independent and identical trials. That would be yes. A trial would be choosing one of the men, while the number of trials would be 15. There are also two outcomes, success or failure. Success would be a yes vote for Bush, while failure would be a no vote for Bush. The probability of success and failure remains constant, with the probability of success at 0.4 and the probability of failure at 0.6. X is the number of successes, so X would equal the number of men who voted for Bush. Here are some other binomial distribution examples. Rolling a die to see if a 2 appears. Tossing a coin 10 times to see how many heads occur, asking 100 people if they watch CNN News. Here are some non-binomial experiments. Rolling a die until a 1 appears. This does not have a fixed number of trials. Asking 12 people how old they are. This one does not have 2 outcomes. Drawing 8 cards from a deck looking for a king. This is done without replacement, so each trial is not independent. Here's a typical example. Assume 10% of the population is blue-eyed. You pick 100 people randomly. How likely is it that you get 10 or more blue-eyed people? The number of blue-eyed people you pick is a random variable x. X follows a binomial distribution with n equal 100 and p equal 0.1 when we choose the people with replacement. We are interested in finding the probability p of x greater than or equal to 10, so we need to look at how this probability is found. Well, to do that, we need to create a probability mass function and learn how to find the probability. So n will be the number of trials. We'll be asking the question, the probability of what? We'll look at how it can happen, and then we'll create a probability function. Let's say that n is 4, and we want the probability of x equals 0, which means out of the 4, no occurrences happened. Well, how many ways can this take place? Only one if all 4 were zeros. So then we come up with a probability function to represent this, and it would be 1 minus p quantity raised to the 4th power. Now let's consider what happens if we still have n equals 4 and we want the probability of 1 success. If we consider how many different ways this can happen if we go and ask 4 people, well, there would be 4 different ways. For example, the first person could be a success and the next 3 could be failures. Another way would be the first person could be a failure and the second person would be a success, followed by 2 more failures. We could create 4 different ways to have 1 success and 3 failures. So the probability function will be the sum of all of these different ways. One way we could write that is the probability that x equals 1 would be 4 for 4 ways times p, the probability of 1 success, times 1 minus p quantity cubed, the probability of 3 failures. If we look at n equals 4 and the probability of 2 successes, there are 6 ways we could get 2 successes from a sample of 4 people. The probability of x equal 2 will equal 6 times p squared times the quantity 1 minus p squared. Consider what would happen if we wanted 3 out of 4 successes. Well, that can occur 4 ways as well. So the probability that x equals 3 is found by taking 4 times p cubed times the quantity 1 minus p. Finally, we consider what's the probability of 4 out of 4 successes. Well, this can only happen one way, and that's if all 4 people represent a success. The probability associated with x equals 4 would be p to the 4th power. So summing this up, the probability that x equals 0 was 1 minus p to the 4th power. The probability when x was equal to 1 was found by taking 4 times the probability of success times the quantity 1 minus p cubed. The probability when x equals 2 was 6 times p squared times the quantity 1 minus p squared. The probability when x equals 3 was 4 times p cubed times the quantity 1 minus p. The probability of 4 out of 4 successes was found by taking p to the 4th power. So in general, the probability of x equals x number of successes is found by taking the number of ways it can happen times p raised to the x power times the quantity 1 minus p raised to the n minus x power. The formula for probability. The binomial random variables probability mass function is the probability that x equals x is found by taking the combination of n things taken x ways times the probability of p to the x times the quantity 1 minus p raised to the n minus x power. The combination formula is better known as n factorial divided by x factorial times the quantity n minus x factorial. You take this times p to the x times the quantity 1 minus p raised to the n minus x power. This holds true where x equals 0, 1, 2, all the way up to n, and p is a number between 0 and 1. Here's another example. Suppose we have 100 marbles in a jar, 30 of the marbles are green, and 70 of them are blue. We define success S as drawing a green marble. If we sample with replacement, P of S equals 0.3 for every trial. Find the probability of X equals 5 if N is 20. Well, we're going to use the previously stated formula and replace the N with the 20 and the X with the 5. This would become the probability that X equals 5 equals 20 factorial divided by 5 factorial times 15 factorial times 0.3 to the 5th power times the quantity 1 minus 0.3 to the 15th power. This will become 0.1789. The probability cumulative function, the binomial random variable's cumulative probability function, is found by summing all of the individual probabilities up to the value you want it to be. Here's an example. A student claims that he gets grades better or equal to A 40% of the time. This quarter he gets only one A out of four courses. How likely is it that he got one A or worse out of four courses given his claim? Well, to do this, we would need to find the probability that X equals zero or no A's in any of his courses. Using the formula of 4 factorial divided by 0 factorial times 4 factorial times 0.4 to the 0 times 0.6 to the 4th, we get 0.1296 as the probability for no A's. The probability for 1 A is found by taking 4 factorial divided by 1 factorial times 3 factorial times 0.4 to the 1st times 0.6 cubed. This becomes 0.3456. So the cumulative probability would be the probability of 0 plus the probability of 1, so we would end up with 0.5616. Here's another example. According to the Times, about 40% of men in the United States voted for Bush. A random sample of 15 men is selected, and the number who voted for Bush is recorded. What is the probability that exactly one of the 15 men voted for Bush? What's the probability that exactly two of the 15 men voted for Bush? Well, to answer the first question, the probability that X equals 1, we would use 15 factorial divided by 1 factorial times 14 factorial times 0.4 to the 1st times 0.6 to the 14th. This gives us 0.0047. The probability that X equals 2 is found by taking 15 factorial divided by 2 factorial times 13 factorial times 0.4 to the 2nd times 0.6 to the 13th. This gives us 0.0219. Let's consider this problem from a slightly different perspective. Let's say we use the same statistics, 40% of the men voted for Bush, and a random sample of 15 men is selected. Now, how would we find the probability that either one or two men voted for Bush? We would simply add the two probabilities together, 0.0047 and 0.0219, to get the cumulative probability of 0.0266. Another way these probabilities can be found is using binomial distribution tables that are located in the back of many stats textbooks. On these binomial distribution tables, you will have a chart where they have various values of n, values of x, and then various probabilities. For example, if we were trying to find the probability of x equals 1 in the Bush example, we would go to the table where the value of n is 15, and we would go across to the probability of x less than or equal to 1, which according to the chart is 0.005. We would then subtract from that the probability that x is 0, which in this case is 0.000, to get an answer of 0.005 for the probability that x is 1. We would use a similar calculation to find the probability of x equals 2. We'd find the probability that x is less than or equal to 2 according to the table, which is 0.027, minus the probability that x is less than or equal to 1, which is 0.005. This gives us the probability that x equals 2 of 0.022. If we were trying to find the cumulative polynomial for 1 less than or equal to x less than or equal to 2, we would take the probability that x is less than or equal to 2, which is 0.027, and minus from that the probability that x equals 0, which in this case was 0.000, to give us the cumulative probability of 0.027. Let's discuss the mean and variance for this distribution. The mean or expected value can be found by taking n times p. That's the number of trials times the probability of success. The variance can be found by taking n times p times the quantity 1 minus p. Let's do this example of finding mean and variance. Let's say our sample size n equals 20 and our probability of success is 0.3. Find the mean and the variance. Well, the expected value is found by taking n times p. 20 times 0.3 would give us 6. The variance is found by taking 20 times 0.3 times 0.7, which would give us 4.2. The normal approximation. The normal distribution can give an excellent approximation to the binomial n, p distribution when the following conditions are met. First, n times p has to be greater than or equal to 5. Second, n times the quantity 1 minus p also must be greater than or equal to 5. Here's an example of using the normal approximation for a binomial distribution. Records show that 30% of all payments to a certain company are late. Let R be a random variable that represents the number of late payments. Suppose 50 payments are submitted this week. Estimate the probability that between 20 and 25 payments are late this week. We're asked to find the probability that 20 is less than or equal to R, which is less than or equal to 25. Well, to do this, we first check to see that both n times p and n times q are greater than 5. Since this is true, we then calculate the mean and the standard deviation. The mean n times p would be 15, while the standard deviation is the square root of the variance. It's the square root of 50 times 0.3 times 0.7, or 3.24. Now, whenever we use the normal curve as an approximation to the binomial distribution, we have to make use of the continuity correction. The continuity correction is needed because we are approximating a discrete probability distribution with a continuous distribution. If R is the left endpoint, we subtract 0.5 to get the corresponding normal variable x. If R is the right endpoint of an interval, we add 0.5 to get the corresponding variable x. So our interval was 20 less than or equal to R less than or equal to 25. We approximate this by subtracting 0.5 from the left, giving us 19.5, and adding 0.5 to the right, giving us 25.5. So we will be approximating the probability that 19.5 is less than or equal to x is less than or equal to 25.5, where x is the corresponding normal variable. We find the z-scores for both of these x values, which gives us z equals 1.39 and z equals 3.24. We then find the probability that z is between these two numbers using the normal curve, which works out to be 0.082. The Poisson approximation. The binomial distribution converges towards the Poisson distribution as the number of trials goes to infinity, while the product n times p remains fixed. Therefore, the Poisson distribution with parameter lambda equals n times p can be used as approximation to b of n, p of the binomial distribution, as long as n is sufficiently large and p is sufficiently small. According to one rule of thumb, this approximation is good if n is greater than or equal to 20 and p is less than or equal to 0.05, or if n is greater than or equal to 100 and n times p is less than or equal to 10. The limits of the binomial distribution. As n approaches infinity and p approaches 0, while n times p remains fixed at lambda greater than 0, or at least n times p approaches lambda greater than 0, then the binomial n comma p distribution approaches the Poisson distribution with the expected value lambda. As n approaches infinity while p remains fixed, the following distribution approaches the normal distribution with the mean of 0 and the variance of 1. This would be x minus n times p divided by the square root of n times p times the quantity 1 minus p. We're now going to look at the geometric distribution. Here is a definition. The property of the number of times needed to do something until getting a desired result. Here's an example. How many times will I throw a coin until it lands on a head? How many children will I have until I get a boy? How many cards will I draw from a pack with replacement until I get a king? Geometric distributions must meet the following requirements. Number one, each observation falls into one of two categories, either success or failure. Two, the probability of a success, call it P, is the same for each observation. Three, the observations are all independent. This allows us to multiply the probabilities. Four, the variable of interest in the number of trials required to obtain the first success. Recognizing a geometric distribution. Here's an example. An experiment consists of rolling a single die. The event of interest is rolling a 2. This event is called a success. Is this a geometric experiment? Well, rolling a 2 will represent a success, and rolling any other number will represent a failure. The probability of rolling a 2 on each roll is the same, p equals 1/6. The observations are independent. A trial consists of rolling the die once. We roll the die until the first 2 appears. Since all of the requirements are satisfied, this experiment describes a geometric distribution. Here's another example. An experiment consists of tossing a single coin. The event of interest is tossing a head. This event is called a success. Is this a geometric experiment? Tossing a head will represent a success, and tails will represent a failure. The probability of tossing a head on each toss is the same, so p equals 1/2. These observations are independent. A trial consists of tossing a head once. We toss the coin until the first head appears. Since all of the requirements are satisfied, this experiment describes a geometric distribution. Let's look at a third example. An experiment consists of drawing cards from a single deck without replacement. The event of interest is drawing a king. This event is called a success. Is this a geometric experiment? Well, to draw a king from a pack will represent a success, and any other card will represent a failure. The probability of drawing a king in each draw will not be the same because there is not replacement. So this example does not describe a geometric distribution. Geometric random variables are an example of a waiting time problem because we wait until a certain event occurs. Or it's the number of Bernoulli trials which must be conducted before a trial results in a success. Let's compare the binomial and geometric distributions. In a binomial distribution, we have a fixed number of trials. They are predetermined. We have a variable number of successes. In a geometric distribution, we have a variable number of trials because we continue until we get a single success, no matter how long it takes, and we have a fixed number of successes, only one. But in both distributions, we have independent trials with two possible random outcomes, and the probability of success in any one trial is p and remains constant. Let's discuss the probability and the geometric distribution. Consider the probability of flipping a coin and wanting to know how long it will take until we have the first head. Well, if the fair coin has a probability of 0.5, the chances are on the first flip of getting ahead would be 0.5. The probability of it taking two flips of the coin until we got the first head would be 0.25. The probabilities would continue to decrease as we worked our way up in the number of tosses. For example, if we flipped the coin 5 times, the probability that the first head would be on the 5th toss is 0.0313. Memoryless property. You see, the geometric distribution is the only discrete memoryless random distribution. It is a discrete analog of the exponential distribution. This means that the chance of getting a heads on the 7th trial after failing the first 6 times is the same probability as getting a heads on any of the first 6 trials. The random process does not remember the number of failures. The graph on the previous slide showed that the probability of a toss being the first head decreased with the increasing number of tosses, but the probability of getting a head on any toss remained the same. Let's consider the cumulative probability. Once again, we're flipping a coin and the probability of success is 0.5. So the cumulative distribution function says, what's the probability that the first head will occur somewhere in the first toss? That would be 0.5. What's the probability that a head occurs somewhere in the first 2 tosses? That would be 0.75. What's the probability that the first head occurs somewhere in the first 4 tosses? That would be 0.9375. Probability distributions. The geometric distribution can be either one of the following. It can be the probability distribution of the number X of Bernoulli trials needed to get 1 success supported on the set 1, 2, 3, or it can be the probability distribution of the number Y equals X minus 1 of failures before the first success supported on the set 0, 1, 2, 3. Let's take a look at the probability mass function. Suppose that John is at a party and he starts asking girls to dance. Let X be the number of girls that John needs to ask in order to find a partner. We would set it up like this. If the first girl accepts, then X would be 1, and the probability of that happening would be P. The probability of a single trial being a success is P. If the second girl accepts, then X is 2. The probability that this happens is found by taking the quantity 1 minus P times P. The quantity 1 minus P represents that the first trial failed, while P represents that the second trial was a success. Let's say he has to continue to ask and it doesn't get a yes until the 3rd girl. X would be 3, so the probability would be the quantity 1 minus P squared times P. 1 minus P squared represents 2 failures times P, the first success. If we create a function based on the nth girl accepting, that would mean X would be N. So that probability would be 1 minus P raised to the N minus 1 power, which would represent all of the girls' answers that were failures, times P, the nth girl, which was a success. For the probability of success on each trial P, the probability that K trials are needed to get 1 success is represented by 1 minus P raised to the K minus 1 power times P for K equals 1, 2, 3, etc. For example, a die is thrown repeatedly until the first time a 5 appears. What's the probability that the first time a 5 appears is on the 3rd roll? Well, it's a geometric distribution with the probability of success equaling 1/6. K would be 3, so we want the probability that X equals 3. We would find it by using the formula and taking the quantity 1 minus 1/6 raised to the 3 minus 1 power times 1/6. This works out to be 0.12. What is the probability that it'll take more than N tries to succeed? If John asks an infinite number of girls to dance, eventually one of them will accept. So the probability that it'll take more than N tries is the same as the probability that John fails N times. That is, the probability that X is greater than N is equal to the quantity 1 minus p to the nth power. Here's an example for finding the probability. We toss a certain biased coin and get heads 75% of the time. The random variable x, the number of the first toss that results in heads, is geometrically distributed with the probability equal to 0.75. What's the probability mass function? Well, we know the probability of success is 0.75 and the number of trials is n. Plugging it into the formula, we would use the quantity 1 minus p raised to the n minus 1 power times p. Well, since we know the probability of success for this coin is 0.75, we would end up with 0.25 raised to the n minus 1 power times 0.75. Now let's use this formula to find the probability that the heads for this coin happens on the third trial. This means n would be 3, so we're going to have 1 minus 0.75 raised to the 3 minus 1 power times 0.75. This would be 0.25 squared times 0.75, which would equal 0.047. Example 3. The probability of rolling a 2 on a die is 1/6 for each trial. What's the probability of rolling a 2 for the first time on the 6th roll? The probability of success is 0.17. The number of trials is 6. Using the formula, we would get probability equals 1 minus 0.17 raised to the 6 minus 1 power times 0.17. This becomes 0.83 raised to the 5th power times 0.17. The probability is 0.067. Example 4. A boy is trying to find the key to his father's car on a dark night out of a keychain with 10 different keys. What's the probability that the boy succeeds on the 4th trial? Well, the probability of success is 0.10. The number of trials is 4. Filling these numbers into the function give us 1 minus 0.1 raised to the 4 minus 1 power times 0.1. This would be 0.9 to the 3rd power times 0.1, which is 0.073. Mean and variance. The mean and variance for this distribution are found as follows. The mean or expected value is found by taking 1 divided by p. The variance is found by taking the quantity 1 minus p divided by p squared. Example, if the probability of John's request for a dance being accepted is 0.5, how many girls on average will he have to ask? Well, if the probability is 0.5, the expected value would be 1 divided by p. So we take 1 divided by 0.5 and know that on average he'll need to ask 2 girls before he is successful. Let's say that probability of any one girl agreeing to dance with John is only 0.25. How does this change the average? Well, the expected value would be 1 divided by 0.25, so he would have to ask 4 girls before he would be successful. Let's discuss the negative binomial distribution. The negative binomial distribution is the sum of geometric distributions. Remember, the geometric distribution is how many trials will be needed before you have one success. The sum of multiple geometric distributions is how many trials you will need before you have n number of successes. So the negative binomial distribution is x sub n, which equals the number of trials needed until the nth success. It's now time for our learning summary. We have learned about binomial and geometric distributions. We've learned how to calculate binomial and geometric probabilities. We've learned the difference between geometric and binomial experiments. We know that the normal distribution and the Poisson distribution can be used to approximate binomial distributions. We know that the geometric distribution relates to the negative binomial distribution, and that the geometric distribution is memoryless. Congratulations! You have successfully completed the tutorial, The Discrete Probability Distribution from the Rapid Learning Center. You are now ready to move on to the next step, which is to practice using the interactive problem drill.